Well, hello, greetings on this very humid summer night in Texas. I felt that it was a good time to make another exploration. Since I've been a little bit otherwise engaged recently, the number of talks has decreased. Of course, hopefully we're striving for quality over quantity, but as you know, it's mostly improvisational. But what I'm basically sharing is what I've gleaned from going through the oscillations of experience during everyday life and also in other states that we come in and out of, right? So dreamscapes, lucid states, also, you know, brief revelations that may occur. So we're bridging the gap between all emotional, intellectual, spiritual, personal, impersonal experiences, and also striving to go beyond experience itself and realize that we're the totality of all things that can seem to be separate. So, really, I speak from obviously the lens of being myself, hopefully to the fullest capacity that can be achieved. Obviously, knowing that there are phases of what could be termed, you know, more ignorance, and then more heightened phases where one has a clairvoyance. But throughout it, the thread is a sense of seeking for truth at an ultimate level, going beyond divisions, dualities, and dogmas. So, yeah, being a little bit more detached from, I would say, social scenes recently has definitely revealed how much pressure and unhappiness can come from over-involving yourself in the things that others are actually either involved in or, you know, their plights. Now, that may sound selfish. However, you know, if someone truly needs to reach out with you, or if you feel that you're really the person that is the most helpful to them at that time, then obviously you can get a great amount of personal growth and fulfillment through offering something of yourself. And we do strive to be of service. However, you can easily see also that at times the best way to serve others is really to just maintain your own contentedness to the point where you're actually functioning on all levels. So that, you know, if you're running yourself down, actually chasing around, fixing other people's problems, and then creating other problems for yourself, that, you know, may be just better for you to remain at home and remain, quote, out of their presence. But as we know, in non-locality, things are actually interspersed throughout the cosmos, meaning that when you're not with someone physically, you're still with them to whatever degree your essences are intertwined. So we start to get a way different picture of what relationship even means and start to debunk some of the, you know, we give it a hard time sometimes, the Disney concepts, right? The whole enchantment with this idea of romance, which is, you know, at the most cynical or just the most baseline, a romanticization of just the basic biological urge to reproduce, right? And then we add all of these fanciful notions over top of this. So what we really do is, you know, kind of tread a fine line between going to a place where people start to get nihilistic and feel that they have to shed each and everything completely, or on the other side, becoming too entranced, wrapped up, and, you know, held down by popular concepts and notions. And really, you know, the best recommendation would be just to engage in a wide variety of different activities and pursuits, and then to really constantly examine the rationale for what you're doing, and really deeply instill the reality that nothing has to be done. This is the tough one for our culture, with the ingrained guilt complexes that we have about what we should be doing, what we must do. Actually, nothing is obligatory. Even if you don't want to eat, there will be consequences, but everything is based on choice from an experiential level. Now, when you actually penetrate beyond that, you will see that it's more like an automaton, yes, that all of the atoms and chemical reactions are taking place in order to spur you on to different activities. But for the average person, the greatest thing you can do is to mediate and mitigate the growth of your will, your mind, your emotions, your spirit, your body, all together, even the ego. You know, all components of the being really need to be understood and nurtured. So this is really, we're still dealing with a transitional phase, going from the child state, and we're more so in the adolescent state, where it's okay, we're giving instruction about how to actually live as a sovereign adept, an adult being that takes responsibility for every facet of its existence, each and everything that occurs, every event, and thereby becomes fully empowered, fully enlightened, filled with energy or light, by putting things in the place where they are, not attempting to move something from the place which it is to somewhere which it's not. That's actually impossible. So we're talking about the all mover that is the unmovable, right? It's the stationary all mover. So we start to get to paradoxes, obviously. And, you know, everything that is gone through, there's a very rich and unique essence that can be gleaned from that combination of things occurring. And again, to stress this, you know, there's no such thing as something just being mundane or run-of-the-mill, because I don't care what you do, if you try and take one recipe, you're not going to be able to make the food taste exactly the same, because you're going to be dealing with different ingredients. They will have been to different stages of ripeness. The closest you can get is to completely synthesize all of the ingredients and use purely artificial additives, right? And that is a very important image for the rather, what could we say, stilted alchemy that goes on in the modern society, where, you know, we're going towards this really way of creating that is very controlling, where every aspect has been accounted for. It's getting as close to the pure robotic as possible. And, you know, that's more of the this Western culture tendency towards basically being fully validated by the linear, and then anything that falls within the realm of the non-linear is ignored, rationalized, or, you know, treated with disdain. And of course, the tragic flaw to this is that everything that holds deeper levels of reality and meaning is within the realm of the non-linear. That's been obvious and realized even in science, as the, you know, we're in the quantum era. We've been in that forever, basically. But it's once again, I'll say, apparent to people that this Newtonian paradigm of, you know, cause and effect is, to be brutal, false. It holds up to a degree, and a certain, under certain scopes, it's, one could say, even 99% accurate in the analysis of empirical science, but the entirety of the mystery and wonder of what things are remains in that 1% that is inexplicable. Now, it seems rather strange to reason from an unknown towards unknown. Enlightened cultures have always known to begin with a certainty, and then from that firm foundation to reason towards the extremity. Now, we've lived in a reversed culture. Everything has been reverse engineered and skewed from its natural progression. Whatever it is that you want to see, whether it's the way that humans should, I mean, it can go from every detail. What we should eat, how we should eat it, how we should raise it, how we should grow it, what the houses should look like, how we should go to the restroom, you know, how we should form relationships, what the different genders are best at naturally, and how they feel the most fulfilled and content with themselves and the whole. All of these things have been flipped on the head. And then we have individuals within this paradigm that are living more towards what is obvious and how humans were generally intended to live, although we're very flexible beings, so we have a great deal of choice about how we go about that. But you see these individuals that are attempting to live more like that, which they then get labeled as reactionaries or, you know, conspiracy theorists or counterculture. Any number of derogatory labels can be applied towards people who just attempt to use their rationality in a normal way and somewhat reject the profanity of the popular culture and attempts to go into a deeper feeling of existence. Now, we've addressed this before also. I think it's very important to remember that we're talking about embracing all aspects of our being, of reality, and as we said, nurturing it in the way that will result in the greatest maturity and fulfillment to both that aspect and to the whole, because we're always most concerned with the integrity of the whole, right? therein lies a very great secret about contentedness and about overcoming fear. The final triumph, triumphing over death. It's that when one is completely released from the notion of being merely a physical body, that really there's nothing more to hold you back. And in that process, one also becomes dechained from the tyranny of time itself, because that also is interlinked with the fear of death, that you only have a certain amount of time to experience what it is you want to experience, right? So, yeah, again, you know, we're talking about things that a lot of people don't choose to actually entertain during their whole lifetime. And then we're dealing with that subject matter in a way that allows us to not fall into the trap of elitism. Because if you're interested in this type of depth to reality or life, it doesn't make you special. It's actually more of the norm. Any truly enlightened being has no real sense of superiority. That's just absurd. Because we're discussing our natural state, which is being above duality, which is dwelling in ultimate freedom, with all things being pure beauty and pure uniqueness as you travel through them, right? And become one with each experience, so that it's then a part of you, and that that memory is retained at an atomic level as it causes physical reactions within the body, which are paralleled by the energetic changes that occur in the aura and the hyperphysical, metaphysical bodies of the human that are developed to a tiny degree by most. Because when we're speaking of the differing bodies, the physical body generally develops on its own. It develops through the physical food being given. It develops energetically through love and support and emotional and mental stimuli, which generate the chemical changes that allow the body to get to its maturation. But when we start to deal with the causal body, the astral body, etc., they start to be fueled by more and more subtle fuels, so that it's not exactly food that grows the causal body, right? There's a reason why people generally start to come to the same conclusions, just as if you add 2 to 2, eventually, even if you know nothing about mathematics, it will be quite clear that it comes to 4. So, we should also see that many of the consensuses about differing energetic centers of the body, which can be termed different things in different languages, given symbolism of different colors and sounds, but they signify actual entities. And yet that's something that's severely misunderstood, that what is non-linear is just vague and there's no real consensus on it. If there's no consensus on something that is in those realms, it's because that subjectively they appear to be different to the individuated aspects of the whole that we are. And thus, gaining the commonality is a little bit tougher than just arithmetic. However, you know, operating from, again, as we said, a certainty towards the extremity is a lot healthier an approach than being the skeptic or the cynic that's, or the nihilist that says, this is all false, nothing is real, this is the, you know, we generally proceed from the statement that everything is real, that all is self, and that truths are self-evident, that we're in a hypersentient construct, right? That everything is intelligence, that everything is light, everything is energy. And then finding the differentiations is where the more intellectual tools come in handy. But as far as the tools of and operations needed to actually understand and experience non-duality, most have forgotten those tools because they involve sometimes more of a passive approach, the ability to channel, the ability to go beyond thought, to quiet thought, the ability to intuitively feel without needing the logical explanation, the wedding of rationality with intuition, the combination of approaches to experience the individuation, which is the purpose of why one even exists. Now, if your purpose was to be Einstein, you know, if you want to read everything that he ever created, you're never going to be. I mean, it's just, it's a futile attempt. Now, you can be, you can have mentors. You can be inspired by people. What gets you in trouble oftentimes is when someone takes a place of a savior for you. Now, who's going to save you but you? Who is going to realize for you that you are infinite and then you cannot die but you? Me telling you that, what does it achieve unless you're going to take that and then go test that hypothesis, right? And finally come to that realization. So it's funny that in a society that's so geared towards individuality, that people would be so helpless and dependent on the external. It's another paradox. Because oftentimes, what you think that you're really wanting, and maybe even what you think you are, the way you think things should be or are, it could be completely 180 degrees from how it is. You can think that, oh, I'm such an independent person, I don't need nobody, and, you know, I just like to be alone. But it may be the complete opposite in reality, that you're somebody who really thrives in the presence of others. So, in order to start to untie some of the knots, as I've called it, this is becoming aware of the subconscious complexes and then allowing them to dissolve to whatever degree they're ready to, allowing them to heal. That's really where a deep experience of life starts to blossom. Not just, you know, dwelling on the surface level. However, who is to say what is surface level and what is deep? It happens to be subjective to your own experience. That's why we cultivate complete and brutal honesty with ourselves. And we have to also transcend fear of not being able to answer the question why. Everything in a language will only generate tautologies as replies, as answers. If you don't know what a tautology is, it's basically an absurdity. That's what the language generates. So if you ask a question like, why is the sky blue? All you're going to get back is useless data that attempts to answer a question which is absurd in and of itself. The sky is blue because the grass is green. Everything is the way it is because it's integrated into a hypersentient construct that actually is interdependent, codependent on everything. It's non-local. So, you know, the suffering of mankind comes from this fact that people don't realize that there's a realm of meaning, there's a realm of perfection that will be forever outside the grasp of linear thinking, of linear being, of concepts, of belief systems, of the things that we traditionally operate in term as realities. That is where the truth comes in, that everything is illusion. That is where the truth comes in of there's no point in trying to save the world because the world that you see does not even exist. Now, you have to go beyond that void, though, and realize that there is something at the end of that great darkness. That's the ultimate question that sparks in the soul of each being on its journey at some point is the duality of non-existence versus existence. The question of, is everything full and perfect and ineffable, or is everything empty, meaningless, and dark? And you know, it seems weird to term it as that polar opposite, but really, going deep enough into the mediation of yourself through the meditation and just through going through your life, generally you're gonna hit that experience at some point. And many are, actually the number is legion of those who fall into the abyss and say there's nothing there, that this is all just meaningless, this is all just a construct, this is all illusion, this is all falseness. So experience for yourself. Is there a transcendent, ineffable, perfect and pure nature that sustains all things, that is the totality of all? Okay? And that may seem to have no meaning to average people when they think about their daily life. Now, if that's the case, then, you know, this type of material, it may be better bypassed for you by now. Now, there's no actual compulsion in it, so that this isn't me, you know, trying to persuade you to do one thing or another. It's food for thought. It's food for your other bodies, right? So just as the physical food is for the physical body, you have mental food for the mental body, and then you have spiritual food for the spiritual bodies. And that comes in the form of, generally, a lot of times, things that we don't actually have terms for in English, because a lot of these concepts were in the deeper enlightened cultures, and unfortunately, through the barbarism of our species, as we were and still are developing, generally, the culture that was the most physically advanced and had the best warfare would actually destroy the enlightened wisdom and knowledge of the previous cultures. So that's left us in languages that are rather barren at times to express these higher truths. Now, one can cope with that in many ways. Thankfully, we don't actually rely on the language for those higher experiences. What can be frustrating is we often feel a great desire to convey those experiences to others and say, yo, this was amazing. Like, you should seriously try meditating so that you can get to a point where you actually feel what a state of peace is. And then realize that you may have never actually felt that since you were 3 years old. Right? But then it's how I choose. Do I choose to be eloquent? Do I choose to, you know, channel more emotion into it so that you may believe me? Or do I choose to remain silent about it and give you your space then to cultivate it and finally get around to that experience yourself, whether it be today or 20 years from now or never in this lifetime, right? So that's the reality that we're in, that we have to, it's really important to start to get to a patient place, because the way that we experience time, it's just the blink of an eye and then a human life is over. Just like the life of a fly to us, you know, higher being, when it would see our life, it would be just a flash, an instant. So what to us feels like an aeon, it's nothing. So just even cultivating that stillness and the sometimes what's called long suffering, or, you know, just that ability to withstand is quite amazing. And often you see it in older people because of what they've gone through, because they're also somewhat satisfied with all of the experience that they've gotten, and that has gleaned them a richer and richer scope. So that's really what it's about, not, you know, needing to be validated by all these externalized dopamine rushes. I mean, to be on social media, oh, I got 15 notifications, that's great, and I look at this, oh, people really love this, that must mean that it's, you know, better than what I did the other week. It's like, sometimes we need to just take a step back from that. And then at other times, you may need to go straight into that and actually just feel the joy of what that is. So we're not attempting to put anything off to one side, exclude anything or anyone, right? That's how you know the purity of a doctrine, when you don't actually even really need a doctrine, since it's universal, so that there's no dogmaticness to it. That's what the state is that the human is heading toward now, is to a place to where a lot of the measures that we have in current society will no longer be necessary, as far as the rigid laws, as far as the ethical systems, because you start to realize things are very simple. You know, something's not right or wrong. It has consequences. So it's not wrong to commit suicide, it has consequences. It's not wrong to kill someone, it has severe consequences. So if you're willing to deal with the consequences of actions, then you may need to go through the experience of either being the recipient or the perpetrator of those actions. And I know that it starts to seem cold and impersonal, but it really is on an ultimate level. We're dealing with a reality where you can view it as one massive person, traditionally termed as God. However, people forget that that's just Gud, which is a German term for a specific deity, right? Jehovah is a specific deity. Zeus, a specific deity, right? So, unfortunately, every time that the concept of deity or the supreme being has come into play, people have attempted to give it a name, give it a face, give it specificity, and thus degrade it. When you take a concept that's sublime, beyond duality, and beyond reason, anything you could ever comprehend with the mind, and then you put a name and face to it, and you build it as an idol, and you picture it, that starts to degrade these sublime concepts. That's why we actually generally dispense with this concept of deities. because we want to reason from things that we know for certain. So, you know, that's one approach. Some people need more of the devotional approach. It can be a barrier to seeing that all is one, all is self, right? The kingdom of whatever heaven you seek, it's actually within, not above or any direction like that. So, you know, these are basic things. This is soul science 101 still. So, you know, because I generally think that is what's still the most effective, the most needed, the most synchronistic in this day and age right now is still the 101, because we're in a point to where there's an attempt to transition from a dark age to back to a golden age, or forward to a golden age. You know, that's what me, myself, and I are hoping for. That's what a lot of us are hoping for. And I can speak for that because I've witnessed that great urge that I've seen and felt. So yeah, just shout out to all of y'all that are in this same vehicle and going about your existences. Again, you know, even though I don't generally receive much, I want to say I am open to feedback. You can always send me a message. And other than that, you know, if you feel any other reason to reach out to me, for sure, you know, I can't guarantee how quick the response will be, because generally things change from day to day. But every time that I do receive a type of response, it amazes me, because this is a journey and a process I never thought I would actually do. I generally thought that I would pretty much remain silent about some of the experiences that I had gone through and some of the truths that I had gleaned through my experience. But as I witnessed others sharing theirs, you know, you start to just get in a state of fearlessness. It's like, let's do this, man. Let's go. Let's see what it's made of. And just let's make a record. So that's what it is, you know. Bit of a sloppy archive, one could say. And you know, perhaps over the years it'll get more polished. And especially the reason why I do ask for feedback is that I, other than my intuition of what I experience, I'm not actually sure what to convey, what aspect of the totality to convey, unless I receive some question about, hey, well, could you speak about meditation? Could you speak about the chakras? Could you explain more about the supreme deity? Or could you, you know, explain about determination? Could you explain about the will? Could you explain about the emotions or the mind, the higher mind and lower mind? Could you explain about the ego? Right? There's endless number of topics that we could go into. So yeah, I just want to say, balanced and mediated vibrations to all, and hope to hear from you soon.